bonding.
That's right.
All right. A word of note before we get started here in the Old Testament survey. And on Sunday nights, we're working through Ephesians. And if you are going to want to be graded by Ephesians, you need to be keeping a notebook. And there's going to be, I'll explain probably another time, there's going to be a report needed on the... I'm giving a description right now of the blessings in chapter 1. Oh, yeah. There's stuff in there.
Yeah,
just very poor empty. You'll need to write a 2 or 3 page report on Ephesians, on how a believer can use the truths of Ephesians to defeat 3 big modern-day struggles. All right? Modern-day struggles might be demonic oppression, demonic possession. Modern-day struggles might be bad attitudes, things that are just everywhere. And what you're finding in the book of Ephesians that helps you counteract that. And so a 2-page report on what are the truths in Ephesians that could be applied to that. You're talking about in many institutions, there are 2 things that everybody needs who finds himself in a mental institution. And those 2 things will probably help, I'm sure, 75%, at least half. One of them is unconditional love, and the second one is the truth. And to know that Jesus loves them, and to know that that all of... see, what I've found is most people can't make sense of their life. They can't make sense of things. Mm. And if they knew that, all right, there is sense. I may never see it on this side of glory, but there is purpose, there's plan, there's something going on here. I have an enemy, but I have an advocate. So, Ephesians is one of those books that is distinctly written to Christians to help them stay above the storms, to stay above the confusion. They are written from a heavenly perspective, so... it is a tremendous, tremendous study. Don't miss the opportunity to work through that. Now, Old Testament survey. This is part 6, our 6th session. We are...
do you know there was another project in there as well about doing a 2 to 3 page report on your choice of one of the books?
A summary? Yes.
When is that scheduled? When do you
That's due at the end.
As in being
that's right. So if you have any questions, you want to pass it to me to review, then I can, but it's due at the end of the class. Now we're actually we did not finish. We didn't get into 1 and 2 Kings. Did we even do 1 and 2 Samuel? Why can't I remember? Since we missed last week.
We
started on Samuel, but it didn't.
Spare Samuel,
It'll be over to John's left there in that pile. Does anybody have 2 Samuel there to see? Whether we filled in 2 Samuel for some reason.
Yeah.
I have no notes.
Did
we did 2 Samuel.
Yeah.
All right, so we're starting on 1
Kings.
That's right. Thank you. All right, we're in 1 Kings then.
Chapter 40, doesn't it? Yeah. It starts with a section.
They keep going. Those are I know I print out 10 every time. And okay, you don't have your notebook. 1 Kings 16. All right. Okay, 1 Kings. one of the most important things about the Bible is that it is a, you know, it's not just that the Bible is unknown to most people, it is maligned. So what I'm trying to do with this series of like a rock skipping across the river, trying to give you a summary, is to get you so that you're comfortable with it and so that you have a general idea of the contents of the Old Testament, because I even here in Ireland, I know it to be true because it was part of the Western world. This book was part of the culture. People respected the Bible. People knew the stories of the Bible. And maybe 40, 50 years ago, the modern world just turned their back on the Bible and is now two generations away from knowing what's inside the Bible. So it's a scary situation trying to pick up and put all the information back into the community. But the only way you're going to do that is for people to become very familiar with it again and make it part of their conversation, make it part of their interaction with people. So as we look at this stuff, it ought to make it just appreciate what the world had, for all its problems, what the world had from the influence of the Bible kept this world moral and safe. And as you see no Bible in society, you ought to realize just how important it is to have a home that's just saturated with biblical truth. First Kings, there are some incredible principles that come to these next few books here. First Kings probably was written by the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, written some around between 760 to 650 BC. Those time frames are about the time before the going away into captivity. But the purpose of it is tracing. Now, when you come to First Kings, who was the first king of Israel, John?
Saul.
All right. But when you now that's discussed in 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel primarily is about Saul and David. So you have Saul and then David, and now you come through Solomon. And this is going to trace Solomon's rise to kingship after the death of David. Begins with the United Kingdom, and you've got to understand that there has always been an attack against God's people, either from without or within. And in Israel, the attack came from within, where the people divided, and that is one of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30 says, "These six things that the Lord hate." Do you remember any of those? A proud look,
a lying tongue, a haughty look, a proud look, a haughty spirit, whatever.
Right? And one of them is somebody that divides the brethren. Discord among the brethren. Thanks. That divides the brethren. That causes division. Now there comes a time where there needs to be division, but those times, the Bible says that Jesus is a peacemaker. He calls us to be peacemakers, and that would have put things back together. But 1 Kings is about a division in the nation of Israel that wasn't restored until just before Jesus came. And even then, the nation of Israel was very weak and never recovered, and doesn't recover until the millennium. Now, 1st, 2nd Kings are combined in one book in the Hebrew Bible. To the Jew, 1st, 2nd Kings are just called the Kings. Okay, but that's just for your information. All right. Now, these two books show why God's people were conquered by Babylon and taken captive when they should have been conquerors. And 1st and 2nd Kings can be testimonies or writings of your own life. They can be showing your successes. But the thing about 1 Kings, it'll show you the results of your decisions and your Oh, just wrong decisions against God. When you live for self, and that's the thing, the kings are they're not as bad as judges, but they show that people forget God. That's the main thing. These leaders had power go to their head, and there's something you need to understand. These two nations, if you've got your map there, divided kingdom, you have Israel in the northern section, and you have Judah in the bottom section, okay? And the nation of Israel never got right, ever. Now, they're the ones that split from Judah. They're the ones that had this idea that said, we don't need David's kingdom, we don't need Solomon, we don't need Solomon's son Rehoboam. And when they turned away from God, there was never a single godly king after that. So rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. They invited the devil to take over. And now Judah, they would have times where they did break, and they would have great kings. But it was very hard. The key to kings is going to be learning and watching for humility in the lives of the nation of Israel. Now, key verses. God promises blessings on Solomon, but only if he obeys. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings 3, 5 to 14. Go ahead, Barry, please.
In Gibeon, the Lord heard Solomon in a dream one night. God said, ask what I should give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. I am but a little child, I know not how to go about or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, and so hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, for riches and honour, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days.
Okay. Now we just stop right there, okay, and Solomon awakes. Now, what you get is a key verse where, I mean, what if the Lord just sort of gave you a blank check and said, what do you want? What would you ask for? Solomon could have asked for all his enemies to be dead. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for long life. But what did he ask for, Barry?
Wisdom.
He asked for wisdom. He said, I don't know how to do what you've asked me to do. And that was very wise. Solomon could have said, I can't wait to get trying and make some mistakes and see what happens. And he says, this is a great people. These are your people. And you put me right in the middle of it. You put me in the place of my father. How do I do this? Show me how to do this. Teach me. Give me wisdom. And God says, good man, good man. I'll give you what you didn't ask for as well. But I'll bless you as long as you walk with me. I'll bless you as long as you neglect our relationship. And that's a very important point, because that's foreshadowing. Every good author knows you build in to the future. You build in a little thing that's like a compass that says, watch this guy. And watch this condition, because that's where he's going to fail. And that's exactly where Solomon fails. Solomon breaks off his relationship with God and goes on a search for happiness, and goes on a search for, I don't know how many years, 25, 30 years of his life. He builds and he accumulates. And it's only at the end of his life he goes, I wasted all of my life. fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. So Solomon learns that.
Was there ever any of the kings, though, that literally lived, or that their reign was, like, true to God all the way through, kind of thing?
Mm.
I mean, like, all of those, Saul, David, Solomon, I mean, any of them, they were more human than godly, as it were.
Okay, principle number one, the Bible shows all the warts as well.
Mm.
Okay, that's why you know that this Bible wasn't written by people, because
yeah.
if a king oversaw this, he would have made sure, scratch that, you can't reveal that,
yeah.
that was a bad time in my life. So it actually shows both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon makes a very profound statement in the Old Testament, before it's ever written in Romans, and that is, there is none that doeth good and sins not.
Mm-hmm.
So even the best of the kings had flaws. The best of the best of kings... I would rank probably the three top kings would have been David, Hezekiah, and there are a couple of other ones. You got a young king named Josiah, who is an amazing 8-year-old king who does some great things. But every one of them have a flaw. Every one of them
mm-hmm.
have a problem. Because you've got, you may get 2 weeks of near perfect attitude. And you're reading your Bible, praying, but 2 weeks in one day, all you need is a flat tire, or you need somebody to cut you off, or maybe a bad phone call, or I don't know what, you lose your wallet, and you lose your salvation real quick all of a sudden. Anything can go wrong, and you... there wasn't any one of them that was perfect, and none of them, God wanted you to get the idea that they didn't have a problem, so he shows you every one of the problems. Let me compare something for you, a great illustration. If you looked at King Saul, the first king, and King David, King Saul sinned probably three times.
Mm-hmm.
Minor sins, basically, in my book. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Did you know that man had one wife?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he reigned 40 years. There was peace in Israel. No real big problems. A few minor hiccups. And Saul just... didn't obey God, just would not take God literally.
Mm-hmm.
Said, God said this, he had to do that. He just wouldn't do it. He always like, well, God will understand. He was a 1960s kind of guy, you know? He says, we live and let live, you know? David, the sins of David would number probably around 8 or 10. And some of them were pretty big. But when God talks about all the kings of Israel, he says, David was an awesome king.
mm-hmm.
Okay? Not because he sinned,
mm-hmm.
but because he always knew how to get right, because he always had a soft heart. He had every one of us do wrong. How we respond to God's rebuke is the key. Because see, there's not a, what is, Hebrews says, there is not a child, there's not a son that the Father does not chasten.
Mm-hmm.
So every one of us get wrong. It's how we respond to that chastening that makes it so that we're, what Hebrews says, that we're treated like sons instead of like troublemakers.
Because it's just that even to this point now in the Old Testament, it just kind of, it goes to show you almost, when you compare each of the characters, just how amazing Jesus was, because there wasn't anything like this in his story, you know, of his time on earth.
And they looked for it. very brilliant observation. And but you'll understand why the Pharisees were so wicked, because they thought that they had finally arrived. They dotted their I's, crossed their T's. If somebody gave them a gift of herbs, here's a couple of plants of cinnamon or they use different ones, anise or cumin or anything. You know what they would do? They would go and they would weigh it, and they would take 1/10 of that gift and make sure that it went back to God. And they were so exact, and they thought that we now are not like others. And Jesus says, "This is a real bad guy." Okay, so. It just goes to show, if anybody read the Bible, you would have come to, there's none good.
Yeah.
Even the wisest was stupid, Solomon. Even the most wonderful of heart, David, was pretty passionately wrong. And
yeah.
So, and became a murderer, and da 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 da. So, So that's the lessons to learn from the Bible that most people don't learn. They'll see anybody who's unsaved comes to the Bible and sees, why would you want to read about this? Because it's a reflection of us,
mm-hmm.
and we need that. Okay.
There's some of the books there, and it's like every other verses. And the people turned against God.
That's right.
God.
Yeah.
And and before
yeah.
they wept before God, it's like, hello, like, is my book reprinted? A couple? Is there a printer here? Because you just
yes.
like they were saying the same things over. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but then you pick up the newspaper.
it's the
same thing.
Yeah.
The only difference between the newspaper and the only difference between the newspaper and the Bible is the Bible actually shows you that God tried to help them. Newspaper
is
sterile.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of felt like, whoa.
Yep.
I mean, you know, like, I mean, it was, you know,
yeah,
the,
it was just
the
repetitive.
Of verses,
oh,
like, yeah.
man. All right, brief summary. The book starts with Solomon and ends with Elijah. The difference between these two gives you an idea of what lies in between. Solomon was born after a palace scandal between David and Bathsheba. Like his dad, he had a weakness for women that would bring him down. Solomon did well at first, praying for wisdom and building a temple to God that took 7 years. But then, I mean, he only spent 7 years building the temple, but spent 13 years building his own house. His accumulation of many wives led him to worship their idols and led him away from God. This in turn led the nation away from God, and even the preaching of Elijah could not bring them back. Elijah tried, even to challenging the idols.